Hello and welcome back to Untold Podcast, the podcast where we go behind the scenes and speak to founders and business owners about their untold stories. As you guys know, the goal of this podcast is to uncover the untold stories. Everyone talks about the glorified growth, the amazing founders that are behind those businesses. We want to unpick those slightly more untold stories and the experiences from the founders that they've had on their journeys of building businesses as well. We're back for another episode. I'm super excited. A brand that I've admired for the last couple of years and has some absolute stonking growth. Today on the podcast, I have Mr. Adam Lyons with me, co-founder of VFC. Adam, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm really, really happy to be here.
Good. That is music to my ears because we're here and we're ready to go. And you've come down from York today. That's correct, right?
Yep. Come down from York. Easy journey. Love London. So, but yeah, as I said, very happy to be here.
Amazing. And we're recording in a studio in the deep dark depths of East London. So it's a lot of fun. It's the first time we've done a series in a studio. We were saying just before we hit record that it's normally recorded in our office in a sort of makeshift studio, but we've rolled out the red carpet for this series. But let's get to it. So look, I want to I always start these things. I want to give some color to our listeners about you and about the business, and then we can sort of get into it. But I think if we really sort of bring everyone up to speed, then it's a more interesting listen for everyone. So if you give us and the listeners a sort of quick intro to you as a person, like how you got into the food and bev industry, and then obviously sort of bring us up to speed on VFC and where that originated from. I know there's a really strong mission that we will focus on today that you guys obviously focus on every day. And when I did a bit of research on this quickly, I saw that you guys one of your one liners for the brand is like Colonel. Thanks, Colonel. We'll take it from here, which I think is absolutely genius. And I'd love to sort of talk a little bit more about that. But yeah, if you can give us a quick sort of intro to you and the brand.
Yeah, 100%. Okay, so I'm an electrician fundamentally. Yeah. Okay. I was an electrician. I was bloody miserable. Okay. running cables through lofts and everything else like that. I got to, I suppose it's about 10, 15, 12 years ago.
Yeah.
My wife, now wife, agreed to marry me.
Hey.
We got married. We went on our honeymoon to Italy, and we spent most of the time up a mountain in this eco habitat.
Amazing.
Where we were cooking by fire. You know, the vegetables were grown at the bottom of the hill and brought up to us every single day. And I was basically in this one room, or we were in this one room shack, and you know, cold showers every day, cooking by fire. And I'd never been happier. And my wife knew that. I had some time when I was a teenager, when I was working in kitchens and these types of things.
Yeah,
you know, it's not much of a lifestyle as a young man working in a kitchen. So that's why I ended up moving on into construction and everything else like that. But fundamentally, we had the most amazing time. I was happiest when I was cooking.
Yeah.
And we kind of agreed that she would support me in coming away from my well-paid electrician's kind of lifestyle to getting back into the kitchen. I kind of fell into pubs, gastro pubs, restaurants, hotels, and it got to the point where one day I came home and I said to my wife, I said, I can't do this anymore, we're opening a restaurant. And she said, well, don't expect me to get involved. So anyway, found this location, begged, borrowed and stole whatever it took to get this kind of place open, and we started cooking. And my wife was very much involved in the journey with me, and we opened this place in York called Source, and it became one of the top restaurants in York. We were incredibly proud of what we achieved there. And nice. But fundamentally I had this passion for food. Obviously I was a meat eater at the time, and I started seeing a lot of this kind of social media about veganism and you know, mock meats and these type of things, and I just couldn't get my head around it. But I thought, you know what, let's give this a go. So we started messing about with this thing called vegan fried chicken.
Yeah.
I put it on the menu, sold out week one. Wow. As a special. I was like, well, okay, this is interesting. So we put it back on the menu. Social media went nuts over it along our socials, and people kept coming in and we kept selling out. And I thought, well, this has to have a piece on the main menu, right?
Yeah.
So we put it on the menu full time and it became our top selling product. And we just kept developing it and it was a very simple sort of seitan based product, you know, the sort of stuff that people can make at home quite happily, quite easily. But we started messing about with the coating, you know, trying to get it, you know, sort of as close to KFC, if you like, as we could. So, you know, people kind of accepted it, if you like. But then we've sort of realized that this kind of crispy, crunchy cornflake coating was kind of like the thing, you know, people were really digging. Dunking it into their barbecue sauce and so on and so on.
I love it.
While that was kind of happening, we used to have these guests that used to come into the restaurant. One day, this is so funny. One day, we had a big vegan following because there wasn't really anywhere as vegans could eat in York.
Yeah,
right? So vegans would always come in. And one day they pulled my wife aside because she was working in front and she went, and they went, you know what, you know who that is? And Kate was like, no, they're vegan royalty. And that was Matthew Glover and Jane Land, who was the founders of Veganuary. And so obviously I was like, I got to meet these guys, you know, so I was coming out of the kitchen, chatting to them, and we kind of developed a really cool relationship and became... friends, if you like, and they would eat in the restaurant regularly. I mean, like, you know, if Matthew was having a bad day, he would come into the restaurant, get me some vegan fried chicken and kind of things like that. So anyway, a couple of years on, COVID kind of kicked in, right? And it was like a nightmare scenario for all hospitality business, or most businesses really.
Yeah.
We shut down the restaurant, had to put staff on furlough, you know. Anyway, long story short, we ended up, I was in the kitchen preparing food for a social issue in York. It's called the Supper Collective. We were making 150 meals each a day, you know, and just some kind of sending them out for a distribution center so people could be fed. And we're doing all that for free, right? Okay, it was just using up ingredients that were left in the restaurant and kind of things like that. So anyway, Matthew sends me an email one day. What was amazing about that time was the amount of people that actually contacted the restaurant, our guests, our regular guests, that were offering financial support.
Wow.
Yeah, okay.
Wow.
They were offering, you know, they were just behind us. And it was the most humbling experience.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. You just think, oh, you got a restaurant. And but actually, it means something to a lot of people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, so I get on this call with Matthew. He's like, in fact, he messaged me. He said, let's have a Zoom call. I was like, I don't know what Zoom is. We'll do Skype. He's like, Adam, we don't use Skype anymore. We'll do Zoom. I was like, okay. So I downloaded Zoom, set up an account. And we jumped on the call and he's like, look, man, I really, really miss your vegan fried chicken. And I was like, well, look, I'm in the kitchen on my own. Yeah, because obviously social distancing, yada, yada.
Yeah.
I was like, I'll tell you what we'll do is I'll pack it up and I'll send it out to you.
Amazing.
Because we'll make it, I'll make it for the house as well, because my wife's going to love it. You know, my kids love it and everything else like that. So anyway, he rings me up like half an hour later after it, because you get this notification, it's been delivered, right? He rings me up, he's like, man, we really need to talk. I said, talk about what? He's like, well, I work for a VC, a venture capitalist. And I said, well, what's a venture capitalist? I mean, I'm just a chef in a backstreet restaurant in York. Yeah, okay. All I want to do is make really nice food. So then he explains to me about venture capitalism and capitalists and everything else like that. And I said, well, what do we do? And he said, well, we've got to create a pitch deck. I was like, well, what's a pitch deck? Like, I mean, literally, I was that green.
So he
sends me pitch decks. And on reflection, I look at this now and I think this is just unbelievable. What happened next is we jump on the call with this VC from New York. It's like 10 o'clock in the UK, 10 p.m. You know, everyone's going to bed. My kid's going to bed. My wife's upstairs.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like putting a shirt on, you know, doing my hair, like, you know.
No pants because you're like, not right?
And we jump on the call with this guy and he doesn't even turn his camera on. Yeah, okay. And he's like, what about the people who are gluten-free, Adam? And I was like, I don't care about gluten-free. I was like, I'm all about the gluten, you know, da-da-da-da-da. With the idea of basically sort of understanding what the market is, if you like, and whether the consumer is really going to buy into this, into this product. So he's like, guys, he's like bored. He's like, guys, what do you need? Yeah, okay. We said we want $1 million and we'll see you in 12 months. He's like, I'm not giving you $1 million. Yeah. I goes, you must be crazy. He goes, I'll give you $500,000 and I'll see you in six.
Wow.
And I was like, shit.
Yeah.
So I get off the phone, I run upstairs to my wife. I'm like, we're doing this. Like, you know, this is happening. Wow. And so... I've got a restaurant. I've got a load of staff on furlough. I've got a big idea. We've got some money in the bank. What are we going to do?
Okay.
So I jump. I get on my team on a Zoom call because I'm a veteran of Zoom, right? I know exactly what I'm doing. And I said, guys, something's come up. I've got an idea, and I want to turn the restaurant into a production facility. Yeah. Okay. And we want to start making VFC, scaling up, right? Man, you know, by hand.
Unbelievable.
So every single one of them said yes. Like amazing. None of them said, oh, I'm just going to sit home on furlough. They were like, no, we're in.
Amazing. What credit to you and your leadership, right? That they're straight in backing it.
I don't know. I wouldn't put myself down as a leader. Yeah, okay. But passionate, 100%, you know, and someone who will do whatever it takes within reason to get the job done.
Yeah.
So we've got $500,000.
Yeah.
What am I going to do with it?
Amazing.
Matthew's like, we've got to spend half of it on the brand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So all of a sudden we start interviewing all these huge branding companies who basically aren't working anyway because they're all on furlough. Yeah. Okay. So we're kind of talking to all these people and this, that, and the other. And we eventually find one of the most expensive biggest branding company in the world, phenomenal company called Elmwood. And we started this journey of building the brand. And I mean, it was a journey. They were interviewing our wives, you know, they were literally looking through our, you know, our bins, you know, they were on it. They really wanted to understand what this was all about. Yeah. Amazing. Okay. And what we were trying to do. In the meantime, you know, Matthew was like, look, he's an activist. Yeah. Okay. You know, I was a vegetarian.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And he's like, look, there's a reason why we're doing this, Adam, you know, and I need to show you why. Yeah. Okay. And so as part of this kind of vegan movement is there's undercover investigators who are buzzing around and doing really interesting and heartwarming things. The things they have to go through is something you just can't even imagine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Seeing these factory farms and facilities and so on and lobbying against this in parliament. And they're amazing individuals. And so I've had the opportunity and the pleasure to meet some of these incredible, amazing individuals. Anyway, so they find this factory farm, they find this chicken shed. It's enormous, the amount of them. I think there was eight in this plot. And they said, look, we're going to go down. We're going to film your reaction as you walk in. Yeah, okay. And for you to really, truly understand what this is all about. And it was unbelievable. This individual, Chris Shoebridge, who's just the most phenomenal individual and videographer, captured my emotion and how I felt when I went in there. And it was life-changing. Paul McCartney said, if abattoirs had glass walls, we would all become vegetarians.
Yeah, and he's absolutely
right. You know, I walked in there and had an emotional journey of being a chef and cooking boxes of chicken. To all of a sudden understanding how they're reared. And the death that occurs through that journey of them being reared and the environment that they're in changed my life forever.
Yeah.
Changed my life, and I came out of there fully vegan and committed to the cause, understanding exactly what we needed to do.
Yeah.
And what do we need to do? We need to educate people first and foremost.
Yeah.
We need to show them that they don't need to eat animals. Yeah, okay. And how are we going to do that? Through indulgence,
right?
You know, we can do it through healthy eating and so on. But fundamentally, you know, we want to make sure that people are consuming products where they don't feel like they're missing out. Mm-hmm. They're not getting that, mm-hmm. you know. So that's been our whole mission, really.
Amazing. Now. I love it. And I think that, I mean, first of all, like, fucking hell, that's what a story, man. I mean, it's amazing.
I know. I reflect on it sometimes. It's amazing. And I'm like, that 500,000 phone call, Zoom call, is stuff dreams are made of. And most founders out there just couldn't imagine, you know, that breath of fresh air through the journey. Don't get me wrong, it hasn't always been that easy.
Of course.
Right?
Of course.
Okay, you know. Yeah, yeah. But it was a real moment.
Yeah.
And
But I think why that moment's come and why you guys have been so successful as a brand is because you have both elements to this. You have like a fucking good product, and then you also have an unbelievably strong mission.
It wasn't always that good. It wasn't always that good.
The product.
Yeah, it was a nightmare. You know, you kind of have this product in the restaurant, which you're making by hand, right?
You're
giving
course.
It loads of love.
And the other.
And then you go to, right, I need 10 people making it.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And we're going to make the recipe times 20.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And it's just a shitstorm.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And a mess. And no one's really giving it the love that you used to give it in the restaurant.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Okay. They're just.
Did that annoy you?
Oh. Completely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And that was a journey actually of compromise. Mm. Yeah. Okay. Mm. Which on reflection now where we are as a company, I wish I never made.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And it was because you're juggling too much as a founder.
Right? Yeah.
Okay. You know, we needed to find a facility where we could pack, you know, we needed to find a place where we could store it. I mean, let alone getting the freezer and actually getting the packaging sorted out.
Yeah,
like, I didn't even consider all of that sort of stuff. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
With the PR and then you know, oh, they want you on a call and to do this, and you've got to go and do that. And can you go here and do
some bloke wants you on his podcast?
Right. I mean, bloody nightmare, you know. When you're in a startup, you're juggling so many things, right? Okay, I still consider VFC as a startup.
Yeah.
But I have an infrastructure.
And
I've got PR.
Yeah.
And I've got marketing here.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, what's that all about? You know, a couple of years ago, we were having to do it all ourselves.
Yeah, of course.
And get on the, you know, we're on a call with Tesco, or, you know, that was me and Matthew.
So, I love it, man.
At The Savourist, we can't run our own podcast and not talk about our wonderful snacks. We have a range of Crunchits, which are made from edamame, black bean, puff rice. They're bundled together and seasoned with Thai chili or sizzling barbecue. They pack a punch of crunch and are honestly the go-to snack that you should be heading for in your cupboard. They're high protein, they're low calorie, and our mission is to end the healthy, tasty tension. It says it all, really. Healthy snacks that taste absolutely banging. Head on over to our website and grab some. Ta-da.
I want to take it back to when we were in the when you guys were in the restaurant.
Yep.
Quickly, I just want to go and pick up on something that I think was really key. Is like you go to indulgence with when you said to me like, how do we get the mission across? It's through indulgence, right? And I love that because I think there are too many brands out there that have taken veganism and instantly gone really worthy and healthy and a bit bullshitty with it. And I think going into like leaning in and being like, well, of course vegans still want to eat good quality, like decent, tasty food. They're not just all about sort of lettuce leaves, I think is where the brand personality and kind of spunk of the brand really hits home and just all encompasses everything. It's amazing.
Well, I used to think that. I'd be like, well, vegans want falafel, right?
Yeah.
You know, and like, you know, green salad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's not the case.
No, of course
not. You know,
not,
because I can say now because I've been a vegan for 2.5 years, maybe. I haven't even counted. But it's we want to be able to have something fried or something grilled, and we want to dunk it in barbecue sauce.
Yeah, of course.
You know, we want to be able to have. We want to eat meat,
because
meat's delicious.
Yeah,
but it's not sustainable, right? Okay, and it's killing lives. It's you know, it's simply ethically wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
So we want all that goodness, but without the death.
Yeah.
People ask me all the time, you know, people who are not experienced in the vegan movement, why would you want to eat chicken? Because it's fucking delicious, you know.
Yeah.
But that's why. I mean, all of a sudden, you see that. People's heads go, I get it now.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's really that simple.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's an occasion, right? It's like when you're eating fried chicken, it's not actually the chicken. It's, to your point, it's the dunking it in. It's the chewing on the crunchy coating. It's
exactly.
It's that exciting feeling that you get when you're going to eat it.
And it's gorgeous and oily and naughty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And so that's really, you know, what we're trying to do.
Amazing. I love it. And so I want to go back to, like, so you've just sort of, you put the kids to bed, you're on the Zoom call at 10 p.m. at night,
yeah.
You get given £500,000. We kind of, like, sort of jumped over you as a person. How you went to bed that night, what taught me through what emotions were going through, like, how did you feel, man? The brand's here. That's gonna move on to what we now see. But you as a person, what goes through your head?
It was a very difficult time because we were in the midst of COVID. Yeah, the early stages of it. No one knew what was going on. Yeah, okay. I have a young family. Yeah, okay. I have a restaurant that's hasn't got any income.
Yeah,
okay. I've got overheads coming out of my ears.
Yeah.
You know, I had two restaurants actually.
Yeah.
One of them, I very fortunately was able to sell during that COVID time, but it was exciting because I thrive from excitement. You know, it's you need to have something going on, which is what's so amazing about food, right? Okay, because food goes through cycles, doesn't it? As in, this is really on trend right now, and then something else is coming, and something else comes, and then it loops back round again. And you go, oh, I know that because I've been doing that for years, and then you start reinventing things. So, I think as a individual and being able to reinvent yourself and your journey is so key, isn't it?
Yeah,
you know,
it
drives my wife nuts because all of a sudden I'm doing this and all of a sudden I'm doing that. And you know, some of my best mates, you know, are like, what are you doing now? And I'm like, I've got a great idea, so I think it was excitement, you know, and a new beginning.
Yeah.
And you know, I had a dream that I could keep my restaurant going and I could go and build a, you know, amazing multinational fried chicken company, you know, and we had no competition and it was going to be, we've got the best products in the world. And you just kind of have to be laser focused on what you want to do and not worry too much about the noise and just get your head down and just do it. So we launched like 3 days before Christmas.
Nice.
Like the website was built, you know, on our Shopify website. And we launched a video through Plant-Based News. I don't know if you know Plant-Based News.
Yeah.
It was phenomenal news outlet, if you like, for the movement.
Yeah.
And a couple of influencers picked it up as well. And it just went nuts, man.
Our
Instagram was like a ticking clock. They saw the video, people understood it, they resonated with it. We had our early adopters, if you like, our, you know, the vegans, who understood what we were trying to do, and the orders came through, man, and it was like 400 or 500 a day.
Amazing.
You know, and it's not like dropping a can of soft drink into a box, right? Okay, you know, we've got product coming in from the restaurant, it's being into the freezer, we had to hand pack it.
Amazing.
You know, and this was just before Christmas, and all of a sudden there was like 2,000 orders in the system, and it was like me and two other guys. and it was like Christmas Eve, and I was like, I'm going home.
I'll deal with this
when we get back. But you don't switch off. So it's like Christmas Day, I'm thinking, shit, like, you know, my mother-in-law is serving turkey, you know, and I've got this dodgy something or another. I can't even remember, but it was horrendous, 3 years ago. It was Boxing Day, and I was sat there, obviously still ticking over. The orders are still going up over Christmas as well. Do you know what I mean? And I go onto Facebook and I just put a job advert up, and I was just like, warehouse packers required for frozen food, immediate start available at £12 an hour, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, Facebook went nuts. I just kept getting these, you know, and all I said was, gave them the address and I said, start this day. And again, in the middle of COVID, and we, I remember in the office, I printed off all the new starter documents. I had clean pens and dirty pen pot. There was a queue outside the warehouse.
Amazing.
And people were just walking in, signing in all their payroll information.
Yeah.
Okay. And then walking in and making themselves a coffee.
Amazing.
Okay. And I was
so good.
And then all of a sudden, I had like 20 people sat in the warehouse going, what do we do next? And I was like, right, go into the freezer, box it out. And then all of a sudden, I had this this people powered line. Of non-vegans are going, what is this shit? and packing it off, and then it was going into boxes and then going out the door. And it was like literally, I think the courier, there was like vans pulling up and we were just filling up the vans and just, and they were just going and then bringing another van and loading. It was unbelievable, absolutely unbelievable. And you just kind of stand there. And you don't really take it in at the time, the enormity of what's going on. You're just like that.
I've
got to get these orders out. So, you know, we've got social media, we've got a new social media starter. So she's like getting all this incoming emails. Where's my orders? And we're just like trying to manage all of this sort of stuff.
Wow, I love it.
But yeah, we ended up sending some to the most phenomenal individual. I'm just surrounded by amazing people. Like in this movement, a guy called Derek Sarno, who's the head of Wicked Kitchen.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, all about mushrooms.
Yeah.
He's an educator, this guy.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. And he was working for Tesco's as head of plant-based at the time. And he was like, look, I've tried a product. You know, let's get you on a call. And so all of a sudden, we're on a call with Tesco's.
Fucking hell, yeah, nice.
You know, and they were like, right, we want to get it in for March. What the hell?
Yeah.
Like,
you're still in the kitchen, yeah?
Yeah. I was like, this is like crazy.
You know? Yeah.
So I was like, okay, leave it with me. You know, we'll come back to you. Started ringing up co-manufacturers. I had no experience in co-manufacturers.
And
didn't even have a LinkedIn page. Do you know what I mean? I was just like, you know, amazing. I better get a LinkedIn.
Yeah.
And ringing up these factories and saying, hey, it's Adam from VFC. And they're like, who? Okay. I've got an idea. They're like, putting the phone down.
No one's
interested in trying to help us. And the people that were didn't have the capabilities to make the product and so on and so on. And one day we got an email or a phone call. Or the wonderful thing about Matthew is a business partner. Let me tell you about business partners. You need one. Because your strengths are not the same as their strengths.
Definitely.
And Matthew's a phenomenal networker. And he'll say he's not. My goodness, like in his network is magic.
Anyway,
somebody from his network contacts him and says, look, you know, we're working with a factory out in Canada. It's a startup as well. They might be able to help you. So we jump on a call with these guys. And they were fantastic. They just said, look, you know, send us your product. Let's see if we can scale it. I sent the product. They said, this is terrible. They like, we can't make this. Let me show you what we've got.
Okay.
And then they introduced me to the world of TVPs and all these other things. And they started sending us, and we were shipping back and forth, FedEx. Try this, try that. And until we got to a point where we're like, we're happy. Bearing in mind, we couldn't even get on a flight right now. To Canada. I mean, Canada of all things. So all this is going on. We miss Tesco. On their proposed launch date.
And
we're just like, we're just never going to do this.
Like,
it's just not going to happen. So they said, okay, what we'll do then, and this is how amazing they are. They turned around and said, look, we'll move this till September. To give you your time to get yourself sorted out. And so it was like saving grace. Anyway, this factory in Canada was phenomenal because, again, they were holding my hand for the whole thing. They said, right, well, now we've got the product, Adam, you need to get your coating sorted out. So you need to go to a coating house. And I was like, well, what's a coating house? I mean, I'm literally, you know, packing stuff into boxes and trying to get it out. And you're telling me that I need to go and... I just thought you ring up a co-man, tell them the specs, they make it all, and they don't. So anyway, I got in touch with various different coating companies and they were like, yep, we can do it for you. No problem. We scaled it up. Ship it out to Canada for you. And to all the listeners now, they're probably thinking, what? Why on earth were you making products in Canada and shipping it back to the UK? That's ridiculous. But of course, the grand plan was to be launched in America.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
So the idea for us was we get it made, we get it in Tesco's, and then all of a sudden we've got a North American manufacturer and we can start working in the US.
Yeah.
Because being our investors are in the US, it all kind of...
Everything makes sense.
Makes sense.
US is the market to operate in.
Exactly. Anyway, so we make the product, we ship it out to them, the coating system, they're all ready to go. At the same time, they open up flights to Canada.
Nice.
Like, you couldn't make it up.
Amazing.
Yeah, so
Amazing.
Everything lands in Canada, in the docks. All of a sudden, they open up the flights. So we're on the first flight to Vancouver.
Yeah.
Okay, get to the factory. Absolute car crash.
What, if the factory is?
The factory's amazing, but nothing worked. Yeah, okay, as in they got the meat to work, but they couldn't get the coating to work.
Oh,
and of course, the coating is where the whole thing's...
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, it's where it's, course, you know.
Yeah.
And we made compromises in the factory to make our deadlines. And on reflection, I look at that now and I wish we never did, because the product that we launched, you know, although it was received well, it really wasn't... It didn't hit what I wanted to do. I wanted people to go, wow, like, that's amazing.
And I guess for you it's so much harder because this is all stemmed from your restaurant initially, right? So I guess there's always going to be a point where, like, irrespective of if you're doing like millions of units into Tesco, is where you're still...
Doesn't matter.
You're still like, this isn't as good as...
That's where we needed to be.
Yeah.
And that's what I meant by...
Do you have that now?
No. Well, yes. I think you're always... There's always process issues and you're always out of control of certain aspects of production.
Yeah, okay.
Because I know how good it should be. Yeah, okay.
And
there are times in the factory when they nail it. I mean, they nail it.
Yeah, okay.
It's absolutely on point. I mean, there are other times when you're out there and it's like, it's just not right.
Yeah.
And this is the problem, right? Because you're constantly at the height of technology, right? Mm. So you're looking for absolute perfection, because what you want is meat eaters to eat the product.
Yeah, and go,
we're not missing out. I'm going to eat this.
Yeah, okay,
and understand what we're trying to do.
Yeah, you know?
So there's a moral.
Well, that's how you solve the mission, right? Is getting people to eat.
What it's all about.
Yeah.
So we're trying to get the closest possible meat-like texture that you can.
Mm.
Yeah, okay. And so where we are now, the coating's nailed. Yeah, okay, we've got that really, really well. I'm really happy about that. And,
great.
And the
you can see from the smile when you said that.
Yeah, man, it's you just like, you know, and when you read reviews, right? When people start reviewing your product, you know, and in the early days, I was like, shit, like, you know, another compromise, you know.
Yeah.
But then on the flip side, you know, you have consumers, the public screaming out for a spicy product.
Yeah, okay.
And so we go and develop the most amazing spicy product. Yeah, okay. I mean, it's something I'm so proud of.
Yeah.
We've taken it to a whole different level. We've gone to, when most companies produce a spicy product, they just bang a bit of chili oil into the batter and they call it spicy, right?
Yeah.
Well, we've gone to the extent of like fermenting habanero chilies, making them into a mash, you know, blending them into our batters and this, that, and the other. And it's a phenomenal product. I mean, it's something I've never been more proud of.
Yeah.
Will anybody buy it? No. but there's all social media, people screaming, when's your spicy? When's your spicy? When's your spicy? And it's you know, so you never get it right.
Yeah, 100%.
And you're constantly learning 100%. And constantly tweaking and so on and so on.
Hi all, just quickly, I want to introduce you to my friends at Spring & Tonic PR, who are also this series podcast sponsors. They are my own trusted PR partners for The Savourist. What I love about Spring & Tonic is it's run by two wonderful ladies, Emily and Jess. They're a small but mighty team. It is just the two of them, and thanks to years in the industry, they completely understand the startup, scale-up, food and drink space, and how to get meaningful cut-through in consumer and trade media. Having worked with some of the most successful and exciting names in food and drink, they really are an industry go-to. So if you're looking to make tangible difference to your business, build your brand equity through PR, I honestly would look no further. Get in touch with them at Spring & Tonic PR to find out more. Ta! You know what I love? The way that you speak about that MPD and the way that you speak about the product is... You've gone after indulgence in obviously your vegan fried chicken. You've gone after that indulgence, but there's still a real foodie element at the core of what you guys are doing. So irrespective of if like you pick up your product in the freezer aisle, right? But it is still the way that you were speaking there about
creating that spicy product is that, that it's amazing how you've kept that restaurant DNA in what you're creating. Does that make sense?
Like, yeah.
Granted, in a very different way, but like it's still there, which I think is amazing.
And it's constant battle with board.
Yeah.
With the board.
I can imagine.
Now, you know, at the end of the day, because obviously, you know, we develop flavors, tastes, textures. Yeah. Okay. That we want to bring to market. It's too expensive.
Yeah, we can't.
Right, okay. So it's trying to find a place where everybody's happy. Mm. Yeah, okay. Mm. So that from, you know, I've got a team, right? I've got an NPD team. There's three of us now.
Yeah.
I've experienced people okay, around me that can kind of help me, guide me into how things can go from kitchen to process.
Yeah.
And things like that. So it's about, it's a constant battle in retail. Yeah, okay. It's so, so difficult to bring a product on the shelf for the right price.
Because
simply, no one will buy it.
Yeah.
So, you know, and also there's an element of the mission from VFC is to bring the price of our products down to the price of the cheapest possible chicken.
Yeah.
Which is the go-to. I remember in the restaurant when we were serving meat, the menu was fantastic, and but it was confusing because people wouldn't know what to order.
Yeah, okay.
And they'd just go straight to chicken.
Yeah.
They'd be like, oh, I'll get the chicken burger. Right, okay, because it's just the easy,
you're comfortable about going
to that. And so, yeah, it's for us, it's about making sure that there's a, what do they call it, price, value, and what's the other one? Sorry. God. Anyway, you know, it's fundamentally this three tiers of why people buy something, you know,
And it's tricky, right? In food and drink, or in packaged goods, when you know the product's amazing, but when a consumer is shopping it in Tesco's in a freezer aisle, they're gonna go straight to price.
It's a barrier
because like, you know, it's been amazing and it's been fermented and it tastes fucking great and it's all come from here, but trying to communicate that on that amount of real estate in a freezer.
I mean, you've got a window in the way.
You've got three freezers full of products all shouting the same thing.
Yeah, I think as a business, we've always had an aspiration to go into chilled.
Yeah, okay.
I think our supply chain, again, I didn't know about supply chain, how important supply chain is. Yeah. And these individuals, these amazing unsung heroes in the back, making sure that there are products on shelf for you.
Yeah, okay.
If you're not in FMCG, consumer goods, you've got no idea. You've really got no concept of these types of things. And chilled is definitely the area that we feel we need to play in.
And so,
you know, not to go
into... There's a whole new level of complexity there, right?
Yeah, hugely. But what it does, it gives us more opportunity, actually. It's more excitement for us because, you know, you could do more things in chilled. You know, you can have a lot more fun and there's some really exciting products coming through. Obviously, we're also developing frozen as well. But I think in chilled... Do you know what? Someone said to me, I think it might have been Derek, actually. If you walk down the freezer aisle at Tesco, how many people are down it?
Yeah.
And then if you turn a corner and walk into the chilled aisle, how many people are down
there?
You've just got a bigger shop window.
It's weird, isn't it? Like, the consumer perception of frozen is not where it should be.
I think it's just too cold.
Yeah.
I walk down there, I've got to throw my hoodie up. Do you know what I mean? It's
Love it.
I tell you, actually... Sainsbury's done a range review a couple of months ago, and I walked down their chilled aisle of plant-based, and it was amazing.
Yeah,
it looked beautiful.
Yeah, okay.
And the range of products, huge amounts of duplication.
Yeah, okay, and so on.
But fundamentally, you know, it looks prettier. Yeah, okay. And there's more money spent, I think, on packaging, and there's more concepts down on chilled, and so on and so on. So, yeah, it's an exciting time for us in our NPD department to kind of break through that barrier, because we're not just a frozen product. You know, we can work in chilled, and the products work really, really well. What I didn't realize, actually, a couple of years ago, two, three years ago, you could have the same product in chilled and the same product in frozen.
Right? Yeah.
It was like easy.
Yeah.
But now you can't have that. You know, the frozen buyer does not want what's in the chilled, and this, that, and the other. So it keeps us on our toes. It reinvents us. It puts us through that cycle again of understanding, you know, what the consumer wants and what we can provide for them. And, you know, can we take meat concepts, which are already in place, and replace them with plant-based or vegan? and make sure that the consumer, I keep calling them guests in my head, the guests, because they're from the restaurant business. Make sure that the consumer can eat and have that indulgent approach and not miss anything when going into VSC products.
Man, I love it. And I think something that we talk about quite a lot at the Savorous is that emotion that people feel when they engage with a brand. And I think whenever anyone engages with you guys for the first time, it's that excitement and belief and part of a community that's trying to solve something. But then you're also bringing an occasion where people can get excited about eating it.
And this is the thing, right? People get it.
Yeah.
It's not like it's alien.
It's an easy mission to understand, right?
You know, you can't argue with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, if you are, then you're being pretty bone idle.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you can't. And again, it goes back to the line where I said, if, you know, Paul McCartney, if abattoirs are glass walls, you know, we buy packets of chicken or packets of beef. Yeah. Okay. Mm. Lovely little boxes. Mm. Yeah. Okay. With, you know, plastic on them and a happy picture of a happy animal on the front of it. And it's just a bloody lie.
Oh, yeah,
like it's a complete lie. Yeah. Okay. And so once you start to educate them, right. Okay. Then they start to listen. They start to understand and make some choices. I mean, look at what's going on in the press right now, you know, about rotten meat going through processes and dishes and this, that, and the other. And this isn't the first time. It's, you know, the horse meat scandal, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
You simply can't trust the food system.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And yeah.
I think what I love about what you've said quite a lot today is the educational piece for this mission. And it's and this is where I think you guys hit the nail on the head from a marketing standpoint, is it's not preachy or worthy. It's like you're inviting people in to be on your movement rather than being like, you're like, let me talk to you about why I feel like this and why we're passionate about this, rather than just sort of, here it is. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. I think sometimes I see it as it could be a little bit preachy. Yeah, okay. But we try to put a sassy spin on things.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's like a positive rebellion.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah,
we don't expect the world to go vegan overnight.
Yeah.
We don't. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But what we would like to see is people making some changes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You know, if you can swap out one meal a week, two meals a week. You know, you take away or have at home and have your fake away, you know, and use VFC. Yeah. Okay. You're only going to make the world a better place. Really. And do yourself some good at the same time. And if you follow our socials, you know, you'll see some real true life stories and quite impactful stuff of the stories that we're trying to share.
Quick one, I really want to talk to you about Bread and Jam. It's the UK's biggest community of food and drink founders and proud supporters of the Untold podcast. They run workshops, talks, network events and conferences that support emerging and scaling food and drink FMCG brands. Their main event, the jewel in their crown, is the Bread and Jam Festival in London each July. It's 2 days of jam-packed peer-to-peer knowledge, sharing where you can, learning from industry icons, meeting retailers, face-to-face pitching sessions, finding industry experts who can take your business to the next level, and the network till you drop. I have been the last few years and I honestly cannot tell you how wonderful this event is. It oozes positivity. The energy in there is electric and I've met some wonderful people there. I've had the privilege of sharing and chairing a couple of sessions there, and the whole thing is honestly unbelievable value for the cost of the ticket. Head over to their website, Bread and Jam, and I really hope I'll see you there. We are hosting an Untold live podcast from Bread and Jam this summer at the festival, so do come along and see us, and I really, really hope you guys sign up, because I honestly cannot explain how wonderful the event is. Cheers, guys. There aren't many food brands out there that can say, like, have your fake away at home and make the world a better place. I think it's so good.
The thing is like, I don't follow food brands on social media.
Yeah.
Like, and I've been a foodie for forever.
Yeah.
And I follow influencers.
Yeah.
And I see the new food trends and I see what, you know, what they're doing as individuals and the wonderful food. But, you know, it's something that is new to me. It's food brand, and we've got a good following. Like, there are people that are following us, and it can't be about the food. It's got to be about the story. It's got to be about the mission.
I'd
love to believe it's about the food.
But the food is why they'll come back and buy it again, right? And it's so hard to do food, packaged food marketing on social media. Because you can't, there's only so many times you can tell people how nice it is or what the price point is or where you can buy it. It's got to be about the story or what comes around. There's got to be more substance to it than just.
But I think if we invoke a reaction, so that it triggers something in there, and then I don't know, I buy it, you come round for dinner or whatever, hang out, and I go, hey man, try this. Okay, it's a food, you know, what do you think? Okay, holy shit, it's like chicken, but it's not. You know, it's kind of the idea. And then obviously continually reinventing the mealtime occasion, if you like. So you can, we're working on healthy lunches, we're working on convenient pieces where you can just ping them in the microwave or put them in the air fryer or, you know, maybe even... It's not quite there yet, but you know, something you can eat straight out of a pack. You know,
these
types of things, and you know, does it have to be breaded? You know, It's like it's bonkers in our NPD session.
Yeah, I can imagine, man. That's
we start playing in pork? Like whatever. But no, our fundamental mission is chicken, and the thing is, right, with chicken, people don't really give a shit about birds. You look at a pig. Very similar eyes. You look at a cow, they show emotion. When you look at a bird, like, they're just it's just a bird. We've kind of taken it upon ourselves to educate people about birds, about chickens, and about, you know.
Well, the product is in the shape of a bird's foot, right? Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, so it was never, right, okay. It's like the whole KFC thing, right? Okay, it wasn't the mission. It wasn't, we weren't like, we're going to attack KFC. It was like, so the logo is an upside down peace sign. It's not a chicken's foot.
So it is
what you want it to be.
But it works quite nicely. I love it.
It works nicely. We don't really want to depict chickens. It's not what we're here to do. You'll never see VFC having chicken cartoons on socials. Because the situation's just far too serious. You know, and we weren't really depicting a chicken's foot. It's just kind of how it came out. But it was never really part of the plan. Sometimes you've got to let these things organically unfold.
And our consumers decide what it means to them.
Exactly. And our amazing marketing team came up with, we'll just stick it in a fork and dunk it through sauce. And all of a sudden you've got these stompers. Kind of impressions along the plate. And it was like, bom, 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 bom. You know, and I was in some of these meetings and some of them I'm not. And so on. So there was never, let's create a chicken foot. It was like, can we make our logo into a product? And I was like, oh, this is a freaking nightmare. You know, how's this going to work on a production line? And you know, oh, it's going to have to be this big. And then it was like that big. And it's like, oh, we'll get it down to this size. And then we run it for a factory line. And then we ended up having to turn the plates around because these things are made on plates, right? They get stamped out as they go along. And we ended up having to, initially they were going to go forward and we were turning around and they go backwards through the line now to make sure we don't get the breakages. And even now you see them in pack. Sometimes, like, we'll open them up at home and it'll be like that. And you're like, oh, that wasn't part of the plan, you know. And
but it works so nice. Your brand as well.
I
think it's amazing. And I think also there's a really lovely touch to, like, you look at, like, okay, obviously a completely different a meat product, but like a turkey dinosaur or a Monster Munch or something that you can feel emotionally attached to. In a sense, I think it's lovely. I think it's really, like, wherever it's come from, I think it works really nicely and adds a really extra dimension to what you guys are doing.
I think we let the consumer do the talking, right? And a couple of weeks ago, I don't know if you saw this, there's a video that came through on our social media about the stompers, and it had a family, the kids done their own video about it, and it was like moving through the house and this, that, and the other, and at the end of it, it simply said, VFC saves chickens.
Amazing.
Yeah, and it blew me away, because you get so wrapped up in the day-to-day of, well, we've got 20 pallets going over there, and then there's two pallets going over there. And, you know, I'm busying myself with all these things, which actually other people really get paid for now. I don't have to, but I get myself so entwined in founder syndrome, right? But then I looked at that video and I was like, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Like, you had this family that simply said VFC Save Chickens.
They get it.
And I rippled that through the company.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just wanted everybody to recognize that. Yeah. Okay. And reset and stop busying themselves with so much of the noise and what we're trying to do. And we've got a counter on our website of when a pack sells, you know.
Amazing. Yeah, yeah, nice.
And in the early days, if I was having a really shit day, you know, I would just go to that counter and just stop and just remember, you know. But I think in the last year, I've been so busy with the noise that I've just kind of forgotten some of it of what we're trying to do. And when the consumer tells us what we're doing, it just resets you and you just realize, you're just like, you know what, this is worth it. This is, you know, it's not about money. Yeah, it's never been about money. Mm. I mean, I wouldn't say it to my investors.
Yeah, of course.
Well, actually, that's not true. You know, again, you probably get this exclusive. Like, our investors don't do this for money. All of the profits that come out of VFC go back into animal charities.
Amazing.
Yeah, okay. You know, that's something really special. And I've never really said that before. I was actually on a call with my CEO the other day, and he said, we need to tell people this, Adam. And I'm like, I don't really... You know, I don't really want to tell people about charitable donations that we do, and it's like, this is really just something, you know. But fundamentally,
I think it's amazing.
It's not about money. It's about the mission. Yeah. It's about making yourself sleep better at night sometimes.
Yeah,
that you're actually doing something that's good and educating a few people and so on and so on. But yeah, it's.
I think that's such a fascinating point, because we get loads of founders in here that don't have as strong missions as what you guys have, but they still say it's not for the money. It's for that innate drive that's inside them that is just pushing this business forward.
There's that as well. Of course, there is.
Of course, but for you to have something to hang your hat to and sort of go, I've got this innate drive, I can't really separate it from myself from the business, but now I can hang it to a mission, must be really bloody lovely. Because to your point, you can then go, well, this is what... Like, a lot of founders sit there and they go, I've got this like weird... And I'd classify myself in this, where you're like, I've got this weird drive, I can't really explain it, I don't really know what it is, but it's just there, it's going to be there. Which you've clearly got, because the way that you talk is... And what you've done with this business is amazing. But then to have that mission as an extra level on that is absolutely why you guys have been as successful as you have, because you've got yourself that's driving force, and it's all built on fucking real shit. Sorry, my language, but
no. I've been in the kitchen all my life.
It's not built on like, I don't know how to say this without sort of like slagging off brands, but there's lots of brands out there that go like, we do this, and it's bullshit. They're just using it as a marketing campaign. Whereas what you can see from you guys and from speaking to you and from the way that you operate is like, it's just real. It's like, this is a movement has a brand attached to it.
Don't get me wrong. If McCain came in and bought me for 100 million, we'd have a serious conversation.
Oh, mate, of course. Yeah, of course.
But that
would still add to a mission, right? Because you just have
all
money
of a sudden you'd be able to scale even much bigger, you know. It feels right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It feels right, and we're doing the right thing. Yeah. At the end of the day, and the people around us, you know, when we first started this business, we were like, you know, they've got to all be vegan. You know, we've got to be vegan.
Yeah.
So on and so on. But actually, we very quickly realized that we don't have to be vegan. You know, and we're a vegan company with real morals. Yeah, okay. And Matthew and I absolutely need to be vegan. The founders of this company. But we've got the most phenomenal people within the business now. Yeah, okay. That I'm in awe of. Like, I really am. I'm blown away by the professionalism. I can walk in with bags of enthusiasm and, right, we're going to do it like this, and right, we're going to do it like that, and it drives them fucking nuts.
Yeah, okay.
It really, really does. So I brought in a CEO.
Yeah.
Because we didn't have a clue what we were doing. You know, we're running around, we're saving lives, we're making great food and this, that, and the other, but we needed a team around us who really knew what they were doing, and so we brought in a CEO, Dave Sparrow, who's really kind of refocused us through a difficult time in FMCG right now. Yeah, okay. Yeah. You know, retailers are really, really struggling. Consumer habits, spending habits are changing. Yeah, okay. And we really needed some direction to make sure that we were a sustainable business.
Yeah, yeah.
And that we were able to continue this growth that we had and in the right way. And so we've just got this great team of people around us. We've got about 20 people in the company now, 25
amazing.
People.
Amazing.
And but they share the mission, right?
You
know, they get it. You know, it's not as if people just kind of go, yeah, yeah, Adam. You know,
yeah.
They know exactly what we're talking about and why we're doing this.
Yeah.
And they believe in it. They may not all be vegan.
Yeah.
Okay, some of them have turned to vegetarian.
Amazing.
But Dave, our CEO, he's gone vegan. Like
since working.
Yeah. Like man. He just felt like it was the right thing to do because he believes in what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
I mean, he turned the job down first of all.
Did it?
First time, yeah.
Wow.
And when I went into him big time. Yeah. Okay. Started throwing all the sort of emotional blackmails into him, and then all of a sudden he was like, Adam, I'm in.
And
he's really steering the company in the right way, and so we are sustainable. We are going to be here for the long term, and we're going to continue to innovate and develop to get the best possible chicken products that we can.
Mate,
to change people's eating habits.
I love it. I mean, I could talk to you all day, man. It's wonderful. I think everything about what you guys are doing is great. I think you're clearly a brilliant founder, and have loads of passion and it sort of oozes out of you. It's been an absolute pleasure to have a chat. Listen, I'm going to start to wrap up now, but what's on the horizon for VFC, and where can our listeners find you guys, engage with the brand, find the products, et cetera, et cetera?
Where are we going next?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I touched on it before. You know, we're obviously heading into chilled. We're heading into convenience. We're looking at different mealtime occasions. We're trying to make it more accessible in many, many places. You know, food service is such a big part for us, I think, and definitely for driving trial. So, you know, we're talking to a lot of the big players. We've just launched with Marston's, one of the biggest pub chain companies in the country.
Great.
You know, and how many times have you tried something in a restaurant that you wouldn't normally try at home? That's how important food service is to me.
Yeah,
you
know,
it's not about margins, even though my CEO would say something different.
It's about
people, you know, in a pub, grab some tenders with a drink or whatever, and then all of a sudden shit's really nice. And then you can go into Morrison's, Tesco, Sainsbury's, Waitrose, Asda. Tons of independent retailers in the UK. We're in 12 different countries now.
Amazing.
We're in multiple outlets, if you like, and it's just available. You know, it's there, but we need people to buy it to make sure we're still there.
Yeah.
Okay, you know what I mean? And so, you may see a natural fallout in frozen. You may see us grow in chilled. Okay. And look at the other things and there's so many things I want to tell you about, but they'll shoot me. But it's
really, we don't want that, man. We don't.
It's a really exciting time for VFC.
Yeah, great.
And making sure that the retail buyers and the food development chefs are with us on this journey, if you like. So we can show the best possible products we can.
I love it, man. I think it's wicked. Look, this series, we've asked each guest. I'm hosting a dinner party, right? This is a fictional dinner party. I wish it was a real dinner party. I'm cooking spaghetti bolognese, and you can bring one person to this dinner party. Anyone in the world, who would it be and why? So far, we've got Gary Neville, Phil Knight, and Elon Musk. Who are you going to add to that list? And then by the end of it, we should have 13 guests that make up this dinner party. So Gary Neville, Phil Knight, Elon Musk. Who else are you adding to that group?
Do you know what? I'm going to say Derek Sarno.
Love it.
Yeah, he's the ambassador for the vegan movement.
Yeah.
He's supported us in so many ways. And he's one of the biggest educators that I know. And he's involved with Wicked Kitchen in the US with these supper clubs in Texas.
Yeah.
And it's just somewhere I need to go. But I think he's just one of the most interesting individuals and supportive of this movement. And I think that if you sat in a room with him, he would change your perspective hugely
on
these types of things.
Amazing. Amazing. I love it. And I think we're going to have a... Fucking hell, I wish we could make that dinner party a reality, right? Can you imagine sat around that table?
That'd be amazing. Let me know.
So cool.
I'll make some calls.
We'd be having VFC. We wouldn't be having spaghetti bolognese. Would be good. I can't believe I said that. Outrageous.
It's all right.
Listen, mate, thank you so much for coming on Told. It's been an absolute, absolute pleasure. I've had a blast recording this. And guys at home, thanks so much for giving us your ears and listening. Please do subscribe, download. It all helps. Share with your mum, your mum's mum, your mum's friend, your friends, everybody. We're on Told Podcast. I'm Harry Turpin, founder of The Savouries, and we'll catch you next time. Thanks so much. Ta-da! Thank you so much for giving us your time and listening. I really hope you've enjoyed. If you have enjoyed, please, please, please do download, subscribe, tell your friends' friends, tell your friends' mum's dog. It all really helps us grow the podcast, ultimately bring on more guests, which will be able to get us to give across more tangible takeaways. Thank you so much again. I'm Harry Turpin, your host, founder of The Savourists. We love you lots. Take care. Keep jingling.